We are turning today to the first book of the Bible, the Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We have shifted our study of the larger catechism from the evening to the morning because the great need in our country. And it's quite amazing if you read the booklet back there on Christian modesty that the fashion industry has really done a transforming work on the Christian community in America. And that discloses it not necessarily from the viewpoint of the Bible, but letting the fashion designers say for themselves what they've done to our country. And so it has a lot to do with the seventh commandment and the culture that some of us older folks went through in the 60s and 70s, a sexual revolution in America. So we're going to read Genesis chapter 3, beginning in the first verse. Let's give our attention to God's Word. We will just read most of the way through the chapter, but not all the way. Let us consider this important scripture. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Well, she's adding to it there. Ye shall not eat of it, lest ye die, God said. But she said, neither shall ye touch it. Getting a little free with God's word. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Outright denial. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now notice very particularly in that verse that the word was is in italics. It's a very good practice because that word is not in the original. No verb there, only a pronoun, personal pronoun I, and an adjective in the Hebrew. Verse 11, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldst not eat? And once again, you see the word, the verb here is in italics because it's not in the original. We can be thankful the Authorized Version does it that way. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Here is the first promise of the gospel. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 21. And we trust that the Lord will today take up His holy word and make it a blessing to our hearts, that the Spirit of God would minister to us for the glory of Christ. We just started a new school year. I say we. I have the privilege of teaching Greek at Master's Hand Christian School. Classes began for the school year on Friday. And I met one of my distant cousins in the hall, and he said, I thought your children had all graduated. I said, yep, but I enjoy teaching Greek so much that I'm back here doing it again. Well, on Friday, Mrs. Susie Rencher was leading the opening exercises. She is the leader of that ministry. And of course, she had to deal with the dress code. Now that subject has been a difficult area for humanity ever since the events of Genesis chapter 3. She asked me after she had so boldly gone through her explaining the dress code. She said, was I too hard? I said, no. I'm preaching this too, so. Sinners seem to think that a few fig leaves sewn together are enough. Enough covering, enough clothes. But that's not God's position, which He has clearly communicated in His Word. So we do thank God for the faithful translation in our Authorized Version. Unlike the modern versions, it uses italics for words not in the original. And so it's interesting here because Adam simply said to God, I naked. Right there he said, I was afraid in verse 10 because I naked. And then God said, who told thee thou naked? Okay, now it's interesting I say that because if you, without italicizing it, simply say it was there when it's not there, in a very real sense, you're saying that he was naked in the past, but because of the fig leaves, no longer naked. Well, the fact was that Adam and Eve were still at that moment in a state of nakedness before God because they had lost their innocence. The fig leaves did not make them no longer naked. This earliest expression of the gospel was that God only can cover sin and shame for humanity. Only God can cover our sin and shame. So the question that remains before us today for Christians is this. Who determines our clothing? Is it God or is it Paris or Hollywood or whatever fashion designers in this world? Our larger catechism, number 138, declares that it is the duty of every one of us to preserve our chastity and the chastity of others by modesty in our apparel. Now, this is going for men and women today, because both men and women are having trouble with the seventh commandment so blatantly today. Now, God tells us what good clothing is at least four times in the Bible. I say twice in the Old Testament and twice in the New Testament. So first of all, God made Adam and Eve coats of skin. You notice verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, let's back up for a moment. Because God made both Adam and Eve naked, and they were not ashamed. Chapter 2, verse 25 says. And if you go back to the first general account of creation, in chapter 1, he made man, male and female. He says in chapter 1, verse 31, God said after he had created man, male and female, that everything he had made was not just good, but very good. So, in the beginning, naked was very good. But what made naked bad and no longer very good? It was when they rebelled against God's commandment. Adam and Eve fell from their natural goodness and from their original righteousness, and sin and shame entered. Blushing and disgrace became a part of human experience. But go back to the coats of skin that God made in verse 21 of chapter 3. The coats of skin. Very interesting because the Hebrew word kethaneth is the Hebrew word. It means a robe or a long coat. Not a mini skirt that became so popular in the 60s and 70s and has come back again to haunt sinners. Well, God did not make them fur bikinis either. No. All of the scholars in all of the various denominations agree that the coats that God made extended to the knee for Adam and Eve. That was very interesting what we heard in the school meeting on Friday. Now again, in the Old Testament, God specified what covering nakedness means. If you look over at Exodus, turn over to Exodus chapter 28, the very next book, Exodus chapter 28. Here we got some clothing specifically for man. But God defines what nakedness is, what it means. Exodus chapter 28, and we'll look first at verse 40. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. All right, they had these coats, the same kind. Well, the coats were made of linen rather than of skins as God originally made them. But they were long, flowing coats. All right. Now, but God said there's more needed than this. In God's eyes, there had to be something in addition to the long coats that God commanded. So look down at verse 42. God commanded breeches. And they called them breeches. Well, they're breeches, okay. Verse 42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. And what's the nakedness? From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Dr. John Gill, as well as the Hebrew rabbis, declared that these breeches covered the loins all the way to the knee. And actually, they said they had a band around them, so they were sort of gathered at the knee. Well, that's okay. But thank God for longer basketball shorts than we had back in the 60s and 70s. You know, some of y'all remember how all of those white legs were going down the basketball court with these little shorts on. And it was so nice when they brought them down to the knee for the new generation. Okay, well, all right. Now, what God commanded for men who were priests agrees with what he said to the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 47 of Isaiah, verses 2 and 3, he describes the shame of the Chaldean women, included the uncovering of the thigh, thus their nakedness was uncovered. So God commands covered thighs for men and women. Now, let's leave the Old Testament. And we see God Himself wearing clothes. Our Savior came into this world as a babe. In the manger, He was wrapped with swaddling clothes or strips of linen cloth wrapped around His body. His precious little appendages had the cloth wrapped around, swaddling clothes. And as a man, our Savior wore the plain coat or robe of the rabbi. You can read about it, especially in the time of the crucifixion, where they took his vesture, they took his raiment, they took his clothes, his robe, and they did not, with that robe, they did not tear it because it was seamless. They would have had great difficulty tearing it. And that seamless coat, in John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 23, the Greek word is chiton. That's what they were casting lots over. Now, according to the Greek Old Testament, the chiton was a long coat similar to those made by God for Adam and Eve. Because if you go back to the Greek Old Testament, which is the Septuagint, the same word is used in Genesis chapter 3. Also, the Greek Old Testament used the same word chiton for the coats that the Old Testament priests wore. So, one last reference about the clothes, and that is in the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 7 tells about the wonderful clothes that the saints of God wear in the glorified state. Chapter 6 and chapter 7, four times God tells about these. And we're going to look just quickly at chapter 7 and verse 9 of Revelation. Chapter 7 of Revelation, verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And look down at verse 13. "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Our Lord Jesus Christ was not just being a good example when he wore the coat or the robe. He had this inner garment, he had the outer garment, and so don't think when the scripture says that Peter was fishing naked, it simply meant that he had taken off his outer garment and he put that back on when he jumped in to the Sea of Galilee to swim to the shore to see Jesus. He wanted to be properly clothed. And I learned something about that because I didn't realize for many years that I was walking around Point Mallard naked at the reenactments. I had on long sleeve shirt. That wasn't enough in public. I was so glad when my cousin's wife made a nice, heavy, gray wool vest. I bought it from him. And I was actually clothed as a Christian man. I didn't know, just wearing my thick wool pants with my suspenders and my long sleeve white shirt. And even though I wasn't supposed to, I had a t-shirt on under it. But I didn't realize I was improperly clothed. By 19th century standards, I was not fit for the public. I was okay to be working out in the field, picking cotton or cleaning out the barn, but I was not dressed as a Christian by 19th century standards. I had to learn. So I realized that one day, that I wasn't properly clothed. So Christ was not just being an example by wearing the coat or the robe. This is the very gospel of Christ. Adam and Eve had to have a right covering. The very meaning of cleansing sin, purging sin, or atoning for sin is the Hebrew word kafar, which is the equivalent of our word cover. Kafar, cover. You know, they sound very similar, kafar and cover. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed, eternally happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Sin has to be put away out of the sight of God. That could only be done not by human effort of sewing fig leaves together, not trying to get our lives together piece by piece. That doesn't get it. It is only to be done by the bloodshedding of an innocent victim. And God made the first clothes. The gospel of Christ is the gospel of clothes. Dr. Paisley, years ago, preached a whole series of sermons on the various garments of Christ. What were put on him when they were mocking him. They put the purple robe on him. They hit him on the head with the reed on top of that crown of thorns, driving it further into his head. He went into all of that. But Adam and Eve tried to cover or hide their sin, their shame, and their guilt by sewing together fig leaves. And how hopeless. Fig leaves are so flimsy and so easily torn away. So fading and temporary, soon crumbling away into dust. So is every self-centered effort of a self-righteous, self-deceived sinner who thinks that he or she can do any good work to hide or to cover their sin. Adam and Eve's nakedness was still showing through their vain efforts. Only God could cover their sin. Only God could hide it. Only God could atone for it. So God made them coats by slaying the animals. The animals that had been wearing their skins before Adam and Eve got those skins to wear. It took the life of another to cover Adam's sin. And that was shown also by the Aaronic priesthood. There had to be the continual blood offerings before Christ once for all sacrifice. When those priests went in there wearing those coats and those breeches, they were going, doing what ultimately Christ would do in an act of finality on that cross. Those ancient sacrificing priests were sinners themselves. Their nakedness had to be covered all the way to the knee. Blood sacrifices had to be offered for their sins as well as continual sacrifice. It was not just enough to have a blood offering once. It had to be a daily blood offering, morning and evening. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. He had no sin. He needed to offer nothing for himself. He was the true God and true man, yet without sin. But the day came when he offered up himself as the one sacrifice for sin forever. And how terrible it was that he was stripped naked and in that way nailed to the accursed cross. Thus, he who was so perfect, sinless, harmless, and pure was made sin for us. What a spectacle! Though he knew no sin by ever committing it, yet our naked Redeemer was regarded as sin. He was regarded as our sin by his Heavenly Father. All our iniquities on him were laid, so that he and his blood are covering our sin. Our sin put away by his atonement, by the sacrifice of himself. So as Christian men and women, we have every reason to cover ourselves because we have been covered by the perfect Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. When he commands us to be modest, it is not just a matter of wearing sufficient clothing. You know, modesty goes much farther than that. Modesty goes right to the heart. It is the very heart of our Christian living for both men and women. Modesty is living for His glory alone. It's not about me. It's not about you. Modesty, according to Webster, is the disinclination to draw attention to ourselves. What a definition for modesty. It is the disinclination to draw attention to ourselves. It is not saying, look at me, how great I am. Modesty is not tempting others to sin. It is also not tempting others to any vain way of living. Modesty is not the self life. It is the Christ life. For he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. He who was rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the glorious gospel of Christ. We are so thankful, O Lord, that thou hast revealed to us by thy word and spirit that we cannot cover our own sin. We can't make up for it. We can't get rid of it. But we thank thee for the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect atonement, the sin bearer, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for being a spectacle to men and angels, being nailed naked to the accursed wood. Lord, we thank thee for loving us in that way, to that extent, to give thyself so totally for us. So, Lord, we would give ourselves to thee in return for what thou hast done for us. We love thee, Lord, because thou hast first loved us. We give thee thanks, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.